Welcome to the DTC podcast.
To, in a way, do your own thing if you choose to.
Welcome to the DTC podcast. I'm Daniel Finley, the engineering economics instructor for Dr. Tom's classroom, and I'm here with a couple of great guests. I'll start with Dr. Tom here. This is the namesake of Dr. Tom's classroom. Can you talk a little bit about your involvement in Dr. Tom's classroom?
Well, Dr. Tom's classroom, but there's a team behind DTC. I do teach two of the three courses, the machine design and materials, and the thermal and fluid systems, those two courses. And we have here Professor Steve, who's our instructor in HVAC and refrigeration is our instructor for that.
My pleasure to be here.
Great. And so the theme of today's discussion is big decisions.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk through some of those big decisions in our careers as a mechanical engineer. What does that look like? What are some of the trade-offs? What are the options? And so we're going to start. Things happened long before this, and you've made decisions way before your undergraduate career, where you're working on your bachelor's degree, bachelor's of science in engineering. So there's a lot of things that came to that. You had to pick your university, you picked your program, you pick your courses, a lot of things. We're going to start that you're kind of in that program. What do you need to do for your long-term career in your bachelor's program?
Well, one thing I want to let the audience know is that we are going to be talking through a flowchart that'll be available on the website. Right. And they'll be able to print it off and follow along, and that's what we're going to be doing, talking about these big decisions. Yes, we're in the business of helping people pass the mechanical PE, one of the three mechanical PE course exams. So we are that, but we came to a conclusion that there's some big decisions that people need to make around that pursuit that they're making. So I wanted to let them know that they can follow along with that.
What's step one?
Pass the FE.
Don't pass go, right?
Don't pass go. Yeah, I could say that, but the problem is anybody play Monopoly, but I saw a movie that had people playing Monopoly. Okay, so don't pass go or collect $200. Actually, you know, really, you can take the FE now at most every university as a senior, right? And then after you graduate, you keep trying to take it, and that's what you want to do because you've got to get that out of the way. It's got calculus, you know, all kinds of things from your freshman and sophomore year, not counting your junior and senior year stuff. And that will go away so quickly, you will not know it. And before, if you ever need it, you're going to go, boy, I sure wish I'd listened to Dr. Tom on that one, pass the FE exam. So
I tell my students that when the day you graduate, you know the absolute most about all of mechanical engineering. Same goes for civil and the other programs. And when you leave here and you do your job, your knowledge is going to shrink this way, but it's going to get deeper this way. The FE exam is on this information. And so take it while you're the smartest, if you will, about the most things. And these are problems that you're going to have seen in college in your classes, and you're going to be ready for these things. And if you wait 5 years, you're going to have a lot of studying to do. Trust me. My students tell me this time and time again. Take it now. Take it your senior year.
And the difficult part about this, and why we're so adamant about pass that FE exam, is because licensing is a rigorous and time-consuming process. So if you go and look for a job and you say PE required, this is not go fill out some form online and by Monday you're a licensed PE, right? So if you have not passed the FE exam, you're looking at least a year, maybe more, if you have everything else lined up just to get all that paperwork, do the exams, all this stuff. It's a process. One follows the other. You are not going to be able to apply for a job that requires a PE and be able to get that done during the interview process.
Right.
So pass the FE exam when you know it the most, when you know that breadth of mechanical engineering, before you graduate, get that done, get it out of the way, even if you're not sure if you want to get licensed.
Absolutely.
The time to do it is when you're an undergraduate student, your senior year, or shortly thereafter. Get that out of the way.
The FE is forever in most states.
Yeah.
Once you pass it, it's good forever.
Yes. So get that done. That's kind of step one, right out of the gate.
Step one, two, and three.
One, two, and three. Get it done. Whatever it takes.
Location, location, location.
Yes. Whatever it takes, that needs to be your first step. Get it out of the way. Get it done.
We kid a little bit here, but I can't tell the audience how many phone calls I've gotten over the years in my positions in the dean's office and whatever of people who've lost their job on Friday and who have a friend who has a company, but they can't have them without having a PE. And what am I going to take? Well, it's going to take a year. You're right. The minimum is going to take a half a year for the FE to study for it and prepare for it. And same thing with the PE exam. They've got their degree, but they don't have the exams. They probably have the experience. They probably have 15 years experience. But what they're facing is 12 mortgage payments, Christmas toys. I mean, you know, on and on and on. And it breaks my heart when I have to tell them, well, this is not going to be as easy as you might think. Like you say, it's not filling out a form online here. Mm-hmm. This is not the way it works. So I think we made our point, but we kind of kid about it, but it isn't. It's probably the biggest barrier to getting your PE license is not having the FE already done.
And back to the flow chart, we're going to start with just kind of the most common pathway that we see people take in mechanical engineering. Then we'll go back and talk about some of those decisions you can make, some of the options you have available to you. So let's say you've got your bachelor's degree, you're graduating, you've decided, I'm going to go work. I want that paycheck. I need the paycheck. I want to see what area in mechanical engineering I really want to focus on. Maybe I had several areas that interested me. I want to work for a company that's doing this and see if that's really what I do. And maybe I'll go get an advanced degree or something else later, but we're not going to focus on that now. We're going to focus on, you've got your bachelor's degree, you're working in progressive engineering. So you're going to have that progressive engineering experience towards that license. What does that look like? What are those options for that bachelor's degree, mechanical engineering? You passed your FE exam. You took this advice from Professor Steve and Dr. Tom. What's next?
Well, it really varies. There are a lot of positions in the mechanical engineering world. You may go to work for a manufacturing facility, and you may never need a professional engineer's license. You may not have to sign and seal things. It may never ever come up at all, and that's fine. There are plenty of positions that are like that, and if that's the path you want to take, then go for it. That's a great thing to do. But there are a lot of positions in mechanical engineering where you do have to seal things, or it's very helpful to be a PE and to be able to seal drawings. Things like structural design, those are typically sealed. HVAC systems and plumbing and piping systems for buildings are typically sealed. And so having a PE is a very useful thing, because if you don't have a PE, then you're going to be working under a PE, and you're going to be second fiddle, if you will, second engineer, and with that requisite lower salary. So having a PE is very important from that standpoint, but not all career paths require it.
Right. There are many career paths that, as you say, a PE is not even hardly even mentioned, you know, in passing. Whereas, especially like HVAC, it's probably the number one topic every single day that's there. You're just not going to get anywhere in that world without having a PE. So it really depends on your choices, and with your degree, you can pick any of those three. The three exams that we do, you can do that. I did, when I practiced, I did machine design and materials. When I came back to get my advanced degrees, I said, I had enough of bearings and gears and whatever. What about all this fluids and thermo? Not sure it was a good decision, but I made it and committed to it from there. And then Professor Steve is helping me with the HVAC part side of it. With and say I get ASHRAE magazine, and it is very clear that is a PE world. And if you're going to be in that, you need to have your PE.
And so in this most common path, what those mechanical engineers are going to do is they're going to have taken your advice, and they're going to pass that FE exam, while they're a senior in their mechanical engineering program or shortly thereafter. They're going to graduate and get that degree. That's important. They're going to get that 4 years of progressive engineering experience. They're going to apply for the license and have the license. That's the most common path. And that would be decisions. You have to be deliberate about this. It doesn't just accidentally happen that you take and study and pass the FE exam and that you find a company that gives you that engineering experience and you get those 4 years of experience. And then you take the PE exam and you pass that exam after getting some prep and some studying, and DTC offers that support to help you prepare for the exam. But all that has to happen, and that is a very common pathway that people will take. But let's take a step back and let's put ourselves back in, you know, senior and undergrad, and you've got this choice. You don't have to go start working immediately. You can go work on a master's degree or even think about a PhD after that. So what are some of those options look like, and what can that mean for you?
Well, most students who do a master's degree will find a professor that they like or an area of research that they like, and they'll do a master's degree, which basically means you're going to take a set of classes, typically in a focused area. So thermal fluids or machine design are the typical ones. And you'll also do research on a professor for a year or two, and then you'll write a thesis or do a project, depending on the school and the program, and you may defend that thesis, and then you're generally awarded a master's degree. And then from there, you can decide whether you want to go into the world, the working world, as a master's degree student, or a master's degree engineer, and there are advantages to that. Companies see that as an advantage. Or you may go on to get your PhD. And the PhD works the same way as a master's, but even more. More classes, more research, big dissertation that you defend, you get your PhD, you walk across the stage, and everybody's happy and everything. And then there are other decisions that you can make from there.
And many times your decision may, in fact, involve other universities that have an assistantship. Many will have that, so that you can go in and pay, your college is paid for, expenses are paid for right then, and you don't have to. But then again, if you go to work, there's online now, a lot of, almost every university that I know of that I've seen has a master's online program. So you certainly can do it that way. But the quicker way is if you can get an assistantship that pays for it, and it may be at another school.
That's right.
And so you can go off of that. So you got a lot of options in that particular thing.
And you need to check your local licensing board for this, but most jurisdictions give some progressive engineering experience for completing a master's degree. It's
correct.
Typically 1 year. So just to keep in mind, it doesn't set you behind your classmates if they went and start working immediately towards that 4 years of progressive engineering experience.
That's right.
You can work on your master's degree and count for a year of time for that. Often master's degree programs are 1 or 2 years, and so you're kind of counting half the time of that is what NCWS and licensing boards count for that. There are also advanced pathways that most universities add that if you stay at the same school, stay at the same university, they're going to allow you to get a bachelor's and a master's in 5 years. So kind of they mix those together a little bit, so that's an option too. So it's possible that you get your master's degree in 1 year because you started working on it in your bachelor's program, and then you're there at the same level as some of your classmates who started working. You each have 1 year of progressive engineering experience, but hey, you also have a master's degree now. Moving past that master's degree, you touched on a little bit with a PhD. A lot of people talk about the two main options being industry and academia. Can you dig into that a little bit more, Professor Steve?
Sure. So when most people get a PhD, they think, oh, I'm going to become a professor, and that's certainly a great career goal. So you'll become a professor at a university, typically at the assistant professor level, where you'll be creating a research program. You'll have some students working for you. You'll be writing grants to bring in that money, which is very important in the university. And you'll get to writing papers, and that's another item. And then after about 3 or 4 years, the professors in your department will then kind of judge you and say, okay, are you where you need to be? Or you have a program that looks like it's going to take off, and you're going to be able to make a career out of it. And if you're not up to snuff, so to speak, they can deny you tenure, and then you'll have to do something else, something non-tenure, perhaps a teaching faculty role, or you may leave academia altogether. And there are many PhD roles in non-academic areas. Industries have hired PhDs to do research in corporate settings, particularly large corporations. And then the government labs hire a lot of PhDs to do research and work in certain areas. And they publish papers just like professors do at universities oftentimes. They just don't have the teaching component, so they spend all of their time doing research.
Right, right. I had a friend that, did just that. They got their PhD, but then went to a lab, and they've been there ever since. And they must be working on something sensitive, because my wife and I got a call from the FBI, and they came to the house and asked us all kind of questions about whether he was okay or not. I guess it worked, because he's been there about 10 years, I guess. So I guess we answered the questions right.
Those are fun interviews with the folks in dark suits and glasses.
Or in your PhD program, you know, especially this happens in material science a lot, is that they invent something new, all kinds of things. And so instead of going into the academia, they go into industry, get venture capitalists. That's that sort of an area. So again, this is what we want to do in the big decisions, is there's more here than just getting a PE that this is what we're focused on, but we're trying to help people that have questions about, you know, well, what other options there are. And I think we've captured in this flowchart the different decisions that you have. And while you can say, God, there's a lot of things to think about, well, when you put it down in sort of a flowchart kind of a thing, you begin to see, well, okay, there's a question here and there's a question there, and you can go here, and before you know it, okay, I've made my decision. And also, you know, you can go back and undo some of the decisions you made, right?
Absolutely. And just because you get a PhD doesn't mean you can't get a PE license,
right?
Or vice versa.
Exactly. As we've talked about, you might get extra credit for it. Might get a waiver of the FE with a PhD, and another credit year, you know, towards the experience part. But
Yeah. Lots of options out there. Lots of big decisions, and I do like the point that you made of, You can change. You can decide this path wasn't for me. You can go back and say, you know, I'm gonna abandon this PhD program, and you can still get your PE. It's not required to have a PhD for that. You can do it right after the bachelor's degree. So still lots of options available to you. And I want to thank our audience for joining us in this discussion. We hope that we've added some insight to you in these important decisions in your life and in your career. And if you are looking for a review course in mechanical engineering for the PE exam, we hope you'll choose Dr. Tom's classroom. And again, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Daniel.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Dr. Tom's Classroom, your best chance to pass the PE.